question. You make a bracha with a kid, right? It's not even the shir yet, but okay. You make it. So he says every word baruch ata with a song. He's enthusiastic and he screams. So we could learn a lot from the children because they're making that bracha. They don't know no kunshin. They know you gotta scream it and mean it and think it. So whenever you sit shakolim with bari, it's like it's a big simcha. Just, I heard you say you said it. I was able to hear the words. It was nice.
I thought you were telling me all this because
no,
water of it.
No,
I
doing, you said it nice. I was able to hear what you said. It was very nice. No, Pumfa carrot. You said it very nice. No, most of the time you hear shakos are one of the brachas that just you said each word. It was amazing. Anyway, let's go right to the Gemara. We're gonna go right to get all the way to the two dots at least. Because we're going to start covering some ground as well, and this way we'll the more ground we cover, the more we'll know Bezus Hashem. But we're going to go off on a little bit of the Gemara leads us in the direction of two very interesting topics that are really intertwined. And I don't know anybody, so I'm just speaking out. So know what you think. I'm talking to them. I'm not. I'm talking to me. And you'll pay attention. But I'm not meaning anything, because it's chinuch and achlokas ha-Torah. The Gemara talks about it, and sometimes, I remember once, years ago, I gave a shir in Mabeshin, and everybody at the shir said, like, I didn't mean nobody. This is what the Gemara says. Instead of not saying it, I'll say it. I think we'll all gain. And if you have what to be moishes, you know, chime in. Feel free to be moishes. The Gemara starts off now, we're up to like six lines down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down of Rabbi Yechon, Minayin the Tchiyas HaMeisim in our Torah. How do we know Tchiyas HaMeisim from the Torah? Mori answers, Shenemar, Nasatam Mimenu es Chumas Hashem La'aron HaKohen, you should give Chuma to Aaron HaKohen, and included in that is the Maisha that we give to Levium. And the obvious question is, v'chi Aaron la'olam kayim, is Aaron forever, did he live forever? Aaron wasn't there, v'aloiloi nichnas la'eretz Yisrael, he didn't even go into Eretz Yisrael, with Chumah Ma'aseh Noyeg. So what are we giving, what is the Torah telling us to give something to Aaron? It's never going to be negeya. So obviously, it must be, Ella, la'eretz Yisrael, la'eretz la'chumah. Ella answers the Gemara, malamit she'osin l'chayis, it's going to be that he'll come back alive, Yisrael nation lechuma, and Yisrael will give the Kayanim chuma. So we see from here clearly mikan l'tchias amezim in our Torah. L'chayra, it's an obvious proof that there's got to be tchias amezim, because if the Torah is saying that we're going to give our chuma to Aaron, and Aaron never made it into Yisrael where you give chuma, it must be that Aaron's coming back. And remember, it's a raya tchias amezim in our Torah. Now, just to point out something that we touched on the last few shiurim, which I'll keep coming back to, is that we'll see later on in the Gemara, and there's also a Gemara in Pesachim on the Samaches that brings out a pasuk in Hazinu. And the pasuk says, "Ani amiz va'achaye machatzi v'ani erpa." The pasuk says clearly a pasuk in Chumash that I Hashem bring life and bring death, and Amiz V'Achaye, and there are some that learned that out to me in Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Gemara in Pesachim. So there are a lot of people talk about, like there seemingly would be a much clearer raya from an open pasuk. Why are we getting over here a deal that you have to give Truma to Aaron HaKohen? It must be Aaron HaKohen coming back to life. You're right. If a person wanted to be a cynic, he could say, yeah, Aaron HaKohen is maybe coming back to life. But how about the rest of us mortals that aren't as holy? Maybe we're not. You know, a cynic could find a lot of ways to weasel out over here. And yet, this is the very first riot that the Gemara brings. The very first riot that the Gemara brings, there's got to be a reason for it. So, just quickly, what could be potentially a reason is because everybody and anybody has to give chuma and maisa, because everybody eats and everybody has to give chuma and maisa. So if you want to try to get something that's tangible, it's something that hits home, something that's going to make every single individual realize, hey, something's going on over here. The Gemara is trying to also get us to internalize the concept that Tzitzis is real. So one of the ways to do that is by hitting home with something that's very, like we said the last couple of weeks, hits home very strongly. Stamazai, a pasuk says that I do Tzitzis, it's also in the abstract, and we need to conjure up our emuna to continue going forward. Of course we believe it. But like Rosh Hashanah said, there's believing, and there's really understanding it. Having it explained in a way that we can understand it in our sechel. But Lamaisa, that's the first raya. The Gemara is going to use many rayas. So then the Gemara says, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Rabbi Shmuel argues on this. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel says, no, you don't have a right for me to say some mason, because it says le'aharon. It says you should give it to Aaron, and he dies without ki Aaron. It has to be like Aaron, ma'arin chaver abban of chaver. That means that all the future generations, when you want to give your truma and ma'isa, make sure you're giving to people that are chaverim, meaning that they're learned individuals. They're chachamim, they're people that sit and learn, and they have a shaykhus to Torah. Just like Aaron HaKohen had a shaykhus to Torah, and he was the one we gave truma to. If he would have been in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, we would be giving to him, and he's a chaver. So too, his children give to them when they're chaver. So Mela, we see from here that maybe it's not a right to Tzitzis Mason. It might be coming to teach me a totally different lima. Okay, so right now, it's, so to speak, a stalemate. Maybe yeah, maybe not. The Havamina, the Tanakam holds it's a raya. Rabbi Shmuel holds it's not a raya. Now, the Gemara does this all the time in Agarata, but it does it a lot in general, but here it's very noticeable. The Gemara now is going to go up on a tangent. Now this tangent is going to be the subject of our shir tonight, but not until we finish the two dots at least. So I want to cover some ground. But this tangent really has everything to do with the Gemara, but very little. It has to do with, it opens up so many other things that are very negeh that we're going to discuss. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yenison, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in the name of Rav Yenison, Minayin Shei Noisin Truma L'Koyin Am Oretz. How do you know that you don't give Truma to a Koyin who's an Am Oretz? Someone who's Poshet, not involved in Torah? I'm using a very loose definition of Am Oretz, because, you know, it's not pshat that you have to, you know, call a Torah Kula, because there's not that many people you give a Truma to. It's meaning somebody who has no Shaykhis. Am Oretz, someone who has Mamish, he doesn't come to learn at all, he doesn't learn a word, he doesn't want to learn, someone who doesn't know the Alphabet. Poshet, I'm using a very loose translation, so as not to get into trouble. Okay? So how do you know that you don't give Truma to a Kohen Am Oretz? So over here, the Navi was talking and he said to the nation, to the people that dwelt in Yerushalayim, give your presents, meaning Truma Maizah to the Kohanim and the Levim, the man in order, Yezeku B'Torah, that you should have a Chazok in Torah, Torah Hashem, call a Mazik the Torah Hashem, Yesh Leimona. Someone who is involved in the Mazik Torah, supporting Torah, someone who's involved in supporting those who are living their lives in Torah, those are the ones that are have a monos. They get this gift, meaning Truma Maisa. Those that are involved in Torah. Shein Mazik v'Torah Hashem ein lo monos. So we see from here this concept that if you're going to give Truma Maisa and you have a Kohen who's an Am Oretz and a Kohen who's not, so you should give it to the Kohen who's the Talmud Chacham, the Kohen who sits and learns a little bit every day, the Kohen who has some shaykhus to Torah. Now, this is just as a raya to Rabbi Shmuel, who wanted to say that you don't have a raya to Tchias HaMeshah. Because it could be La'arin means that just like Arin was a Talmud Chacham, so also when you're giving your Truma Maisa, give it to Talmud Chacham. So, now, the Gemara is going to go on now to talk about, it's going to continue on the side topic. Okay, so now we know you're not allowed to give your Truma Maisa to an Am Oretz. What happens if you do? Okay, now this has nothing to do with Tchias HaMeshah anymore, and the Gemara is totally way off the topic. But these are the Gemaras that we're going to, some of these Gemaras we're going to dwell on, because the next two pages is all about Chesed Meisah. We're going to have time to extrapolate from those Gemaras the Dinim and the Inyanim of Chesed Meisah. But when the Gemara goes off in these tangents, as Miller always told us, they're big lessons. The Gemara went off to teach us fundamental principles in life, in Yiddishkeit, bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chaveiro. So we're not going to lose these opportunities. We're going to try to hone in on them and take out from them the limudim that we can gain. But let's continue with this side, this tangent that the Gemara is on. And the Gemara says, Amr of Acha bar Ada, Amr of Yehuda. Rav Acha bar Ada said in the name of Yehuda, Kol Nesin Tshuma L'Koyin Ama'aretz. Someone who does give Tshuma. Okay, we already learned you're not supposed to. But what about if someone does? So what is the Oivakilu Nesin Es Asnei Ari? It's as if he gave it to a lion. Now Ma'ari Savik Dereh for Oichel. An Ari, when it goes and it advances on its prey. An Ari is a predator. And when it advances on its prey, it sometimes is derish v'erichel, suffix ain't a derish v'erichel. Sometimes it eats it immediately. Sometimes it first plays around with it and tramples it and does all sorts of stuff with it. And then after it's finished having its fun, then it first sits down and eats. So af koin amoret suffix erichel b'tahara, suffix erichel b'tumah. It's a suffix if he's going to eat this tumah b'tahara, a suffix if he's going to eat it b'tumah, and therefore, someone who gives his truma to a Kohen Amoretz, it's as if he gave it to an Ari. That's a tremendous statement. What?
If he gives his truma to a Kohen Amoretz, it counts as truma?
Yeah, so we're going to learn, we're going to, not now, eventually, we'll get to it, that the Nesina of truma, you're Yaitza. But you might be over on being Mavazi. Because Lamaizi, you can't create that, But that's more of a halacha issue if you have to take two more off again. But what we see from here is that Aleph, don't give it to the Amoretz. Beis, if you give it to an Amoretz, it's as if you gave it to an Ari. Okay? Now, keep in mind that again, we're using a loose interpretation of Amoretz. But the Gemara is not loose in its analogy. And the Gemara says it's as if you gave it to a lion. The Marsha over here talks about the analogy to say that it's not a guzman. There's no exaggerations in the Gemara. It means to say it's not a good thing. And if you have truma, you have maisa, find somebody that's not only a kohen or a levi, but someone who's got some shaychus to Torah. He might not have to know kol haTorah kula, but he has to not be an amoret. He has to know you can't eat it b'tuma. He has to know these things. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel held that you don't have a raya from here that this has to do with Chiyas HaNesah. Because there's a whole Torah of just how chashuv the Kohen and the Levi have to be.
Why does the Levi have to be chashuv?
What?
The Levi can eat it b'tumah.
You're right. And therefore this won't be negated. 100% right. You're right. And that could be, that's why it's in parentheses when it says L'Kayam U'Levim. It could be. I don't know. But you're right. You're 100% right. Because Levim, there's no chiyuv of Tumah and Tahara except for by Tumah and Tumas Maisa.
Levim is not needed either.
Right, exactly. But that's what the Levi has to give. So the Levi has to know not to give it to the Kohen who's not an Amoretz. So it could be that negev. But very good. You're right. 100% right. Okay, but the Maisa, so we see from here another dip. Don't give it to the Amoretz. If you gave it to the Amoretz, it's as if you gave it to an Ari, because the person might eat it but Tumah. Then the Gemara continues on the side point, on the tangent, and says, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Avgerim Lemisa. He actually caused death to him. Shenema Umesu Boi Ki Chaluhu. Because now, since he's going to eat it b'tumah, he's going to be Mechuyah Misa. So, how directly are you Mechuyah for that? Okay, that's a question that a Beis Din would have to decide. If you're a Gerim of a Gerim, but the bottom line is we know the Tnei Yivolei Shitei Mishal. You can't go and give something to a stumbling block in front of a blind person. It doesn't actually mean sticking your foot out when the guy's walking by with his stick. It means you can't set him up. You can't set him up. And this we'll talk about in Mitzvah next week, the whole concept of Tnei Yivolei Shitei Mishal, because it's so negeah in everything we do. It's amazing. Lamaisha. You know, the old story of a Mashkiach was approached by Rav Shalom Shadron was approached after a shir, and he gave a whole shir about how you can't count anybody out, no matter what. People have yetzaris; they do things wrong. We always do things wrong, but there's such a thing called tshuva, and you got to always leave the door open because people come back. The chayzeh b'tshuva is something that people, and when they come back, they sometimes come back with a vengeance. And they're really sincere, and they're able to build tremendous things. And so I went over to Rosh Hashanah John, and he said to him, I have a mission that says not like you. He says, Az ponim l'gehenna. Someone who's a mechutzis, he goes to Gehenna. The kasha is, what do you mean? Why is he going to Gehenna? Maybe he'll do tshuva. Maybe he'll do tshuva. And he does tshuva, so he's going to Gan Eden. So the raya, and sometimes, you might as well just, you know, close up shop and go home. So what? Someone asked this to Rosh Hashanah John right after he finished the shiur. And now, the way it was asked, just to give you a little bit of the feeling of the situation, I happened to be there. It was like, it was almost like I got you. Like the person asking the question thought he was actually going to get him. But so Rosh Hashanah John looked at him. He says, "I'll tell you, my." And he told him a mice that it happened with the Chofetz Chaim. And Bekitzer, the person walked away with his tail between his legs a few minutes later. He realized he just gave Rishon an excuse to give more musa. But he didn't chop Rishon Shadron. You never could have chop Rishon Shadron. But he told him a mice that happened with the Chofetz Chaim. That there was once a Bachar Yeshiva who was a Mitzuyan. In all in Yonim, in Midos, to the Mitzuyan. He was a tremendous Bal Nefesh. He cared about Ben Aliyah. He's tried. He worked his heart out. But he had a very bad kishrin. He didn't chop. Nowadays, maybe they would call it ADD or something. They'd give it a label because it's the end thing to do. But in the Chabad Chaim's days, it was just, it was hollow. The more he tried, the more frustrated he did. He just couldn't learn. And they came to the Chabad Chaim, a couple of the Rabbeim in the yeshiva there, to say that he's holding back the shir. Because we're giving shir, and he keeps asking questions on something we did already, and now the boys that are more advanced are not getting it. Because it slows down the shir, and then they fall out of it. That is one of the most frequently asked questions nowadays from the Rabbeim in the world. We have this problem every day in the classroom. Any Rebbe has this problem all the time. We have, as parents, with our children, where one child needs something a little bit differently than another one, and you have to figure out how to juggle two things at the same time. So the Chofetz Chaim said that you should keep him in the shir, and just we'll get other people to help work with him. And a few weeks later, they came back and said, no, go. It's just, he's got to go. It's not working. And the Chofetz Chaim said, nope, he's not going nowhere. We're going to keep working on it. And they tried to argue with the Chofetz Chaim, but the Chofetz Chaim wouldn't budge. The Merlu and the Chofetz Chaim wouldn't budge. That was the end of the conversation. And the boys stayed in the yeshiva. A few weeks later, a lady from the neighborhood knocked on the Chofetz Chaim's door and told the Chofetz Chaim that she's very upset. There was a boy who was just walking by who didn't act with Derech Eretz style. And the Chofetz Chaim wasn't makabel because of Lashon Hara, but he was choshish. And he said, okay, let's call in the boy. If you're accusing, then I have to call the boy in and I have to hear his side of the story because it's Lashon Hara, otherwise it can't be a problem. Called the boy into the office and is it true what she's saying? The boy said, yeah. The boy had an attitude. Seems like maybe she was a little bit of a pachechi lady. You know, you make a little too much noise, or you step a little too close to her house, you got a little noise. And like a typical young boy, a teenage boy, you know, you're not going to tell me what to do, kind of. And Mela told the lady off. So this boy happened to be one of the top boys in the shir, actually, in Tishrin. And the Chofetz Chaim threw him out of the shir. That, on the spot, won't believe. So the boy was like, what? One of the best guys in the class. And he went to Jabim, and the Rebbeim came to advocate on his behalf, you know, partially to try to get the Chavetz Chaim to change his mind. And they came with all kindness that he's going to be a gadol, and he's so and he's such good in learning, and oh, he made a mistake, and give him another chance. And all of the shmuzim shaykh, and the Chavetz Chaim said, no, he can't come in. So they finally said, but Rebbe, what's going to be? You said you didn't call tshuva. So he said, yeah, but you state in Pasuk, Az Panim L'Gehenim. So if it says Az Panim L'Gehenim, the question is, what about tshuva? What about tshuva? Chavetz Chaim says, obviously the Mishnah is telling us a Gevaldik Yisrael. Someone who's a Mechutzes is not doing tshuva. Az Panim, you'll know he's going to get him. He won't do tshuva. Because the chutzpah won't let him lower himself to do it. So maybe therefore, the Mishnah tells us, with this case, you know what the end result's going to be. Don't even bother. Similar to Ben Tzera Meira. You know the end result. You don't have to worry. So Shlomo Zedron turned to the guy and said, Shkayach, and he walked away. Because he answered the guy's question. The guy was being a little chutzpahdik in the way he was asking the question. So he killed two birds with one stone. But it was so good that Rav Shlomo Zedron had the maaser like on the tip of his tongue. Like, all right, you set me up, I'll tell you what I think. So, you know, it's like a similar thing. Like, the Mashkiach used this, one of my Mashkiachim used this maaser to say how you got to be very careful. Because if you say something to a crowd or to somebody, an individual, your child, and they're not ready to listen, you have to be careful that you're not putting a stumbling block. You can't go, let's say you see a kid in a very bad mood. This is what the Mashkiach said to us. He's in a very bad mood. He didn't do well on a test, or his bike was stolen that day, or whatever else happened in his life, and he's in a bad mood. You know he's in a bad mood. And you know that he doesn't want to clean his room right this second. And you know that if you tell him to clean his room, he's just going to say no. It's going to end up a fight. You can't say, what do you mean? He's my son. He has to learn to listen to me. No, the Torah says, Na'ivo is it in Michshol. You have to wait till he comes down and then ask him. And he's, and you have to know that he might turn you down. Now, it's such a gevaldik yisoy in chinuch in general, to know not always when what to say, when not to say something. It's an amazing thing. But that has to do with this Gemara of don't give him the truma because he'll eat it when he's tummy. If he's going to eat it when he's tummy, you got a problem. I don't know if I told you, I met on Tisha B'Av, 2 days before Tisha B'Av in the summer. And did I tell you this? I was by the Kaisel this year before we made Aliyah right before Pesach, my family. So we first came in the summer because that was part of the deal. My wife, I said to Mark, she wanted very badly to come. So I said, we have to first come for 4 or 5 weeks to see that it could work. And then we could then stop to come without it. You know, Lech Techachrei B'Mit B'Eretz L'Yisrua, I don't know if I want that Madrega yet. So Lamaisa, we came. So I was at the Kaisel 2 days before, and a bunch of kids came over. They just, I don't know who they are, and they asked me if I know where the local McDonald's is. So they were from the five towns in New York. I don't know the five towns, like Cedar, Lawrence, you know, over there, so like Woodmere. They were actually from Woodmere. And they were asking me, they were here on a summer trip for a few weeks. In America, you can't eat this stuff. But they heard that in Eretz Yisrael, there are a couple of them out kosher, they want to go find it, they want to eat it. So I said to them, this is a day or two before Tisha B'Av. So I had a big shaila what to do over here. Because I didn't want them to eat. It wasn't a hashkocha shaila, because the rabbanut says it's good. I don't get involved. If I'll eat it or not, it's nothing. It's irrelevant. From a yid is asking if he could eat it. I didn't say. But how can I send a fledgling restaurant the day before Tisha B'Av? It's not supposed to be inflation. So I didn't know what to do. So I said to him, it hit me in the head. I was surprised that I see out the Shemaya. I said to him, I said, really have to go? I didn't know. There were like 15 kids. Really have to go? So they rolled their eyes. And why not? It's kosher, isn't it? So I said, yeah, but you know, it's a day or two before Tisha B'Av, and you should be eating meat, you should be eating dairy. So they came back with a knockout punch. Then why would the rabbis make the thing kosher? It would be closed. If it's open, obviously the rabbi says it's kosher, all you could eat. Well, the place would be closed. So he told me. So I said, you're right in Cheshvan, but it could be the rabbis understand that people might go eat things that aren't kosher at all. Better they should eat stuff that's meat, but kosher, because that's only a minute, than to eat something that's treif, which is usher min ha-Torah. So if you're holding by eating something that's treif, I'll tell you where to go and I'll pay for your ticket. But if you're not anyways going to eat treif, for the mechatesi, you have to go there and eat it. It's good for the other people, but maybe not for you. I didn't know who I was talking to, 15 kids from Woodmere. You know, whatever. So they looked at me, so Rabbi, what should we do? So I said, I don't know, but I know that in New York, the Nutrisi has a kosher pizza hut. And over here, there are kosher pizza huts. And last I checked, that's a dairy meal. Oh, really? Right. Okay, where's one of those? I said, in the Tachanek is it. Next to the McDonald's, it's a pizza hut. Go there. That's what I told him. Now, I don't know what they ended up eating. I don't know, but I gave him my best shot. But I was very worried about that, because so nice, it's so easy. In a second, you say something, and right away, and I have to realize, coming from America, a lot of you might have been here your whole life for a very long time. Someone who walks by a pizza at a McDonald's every single day, and then he finally could walk by one that has a shkacha on it, you can't control it. you gotta try to understand, you know. But Lamaisa, it's an amazing thing to be one step ahead. Not to be evil, it's the either. It's not so simple. But let's go a little weiter. Because I want to talk about Lifnei Iver, Mitchem, in a future year. But I want to talk also about Hasdakas HaTorah and Chinuch. The Chofetz Chaim enlightens us over here. So the Gemara just goes on a little further. And the Gemara says, okay, so now we know that you also caused the guy to get killed. So the Gemara is not satisfied with that. The Gemara continues to pile it on. The Be'er of Elizabeth and Yaakov Tana, Av Meshiu Avoy Nashma. He's going to carry with himself a tremendous sin. There's something that Mises is not mechaper over here. It's a tremendous avera to be mezavazah the truma and eat a betuma. So look at all of these things you're causing by giving it to him. So Mele therefore says the Gemara, it's not a good idea to give the truma to a kohen that's an amoret, because he might end up eating it and he won't be tar. That ends the side point to the Gemara. Then the Gemara, before the two dots, says one more Nakuda. Tanya Reb Shimoy, Minayin Latzchis Amezim Min HaTorah. Reb Shimoy says, what's my raya? Latzchis Amezim Min HaTorah? Shenema? V'gam Aki Moisi Esprisi Itam? L'Sei Shalem Eseret Kanan. Hashem is saying, I'm going to keep my word and give Eretz Yisrael to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Lochem loy nemar el lohem. To them, mikan l'tchis amezim in HaTorah, because Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are not alive. And yet Hashem said, I'm giving to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov the Torah, to Eretz Yisrael. It must be that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are going to have tchis amezim. So we see from here again a similar raya to the first raya. But what's unique over here is the Gemara does not go on now to slug this up. The Gemara didn't say, but maybe it means just people that are like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov that are Mavakesh Hashem. Like the Gemara really could have did the same thing that the Gemara just did with the case of Aaron HaKohen, and the Gemara didn't do that. Okay? And the question we're going to have to explore is, why not? You know, if I was writing the Gemara, which Baruch Hashem I wasn't, I would have wrote over here that the Bay whatever would say that, hey, maybe it's Lahem, it has to be like them. So obviously the Gemara avoided doing this by saying that that's why it says Lahem, not Lochem. Because if it would have said Lochem, the Gemara would have had that right to go right into the same Gemara that we had before. Lahem meant Dafket them. And not to say any other thing, it didn't give us that much wiggle room. That was why it was so important to be madgish, to emphasize the word lahem. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are getting it. If they're getting it, it's because it's tchis amesim. They're not alive anymore. Okay? So now, we now have two. The Gemara is going to have many more. Let's stop for a minute and analyze the Gemara before. And We're going to continue to go weiter, but I want to cover some of these nekudas I think are very important. If the oil feels that we should go faster, let me know. We can go much faster, but we'll be missing some important things. It's the Gemara says over here, somebody should give the Truma Maisa to the Kohen and Levi. And the question, obviously, which we all know the answer to, is what shot that this whole thing has to do with the Kohen and Levi? Why would we even told to give anything to them? It's in order that, since they don't have a parnasa, so by giving them these stuff, they're able to continue to sit on the entire. And the Marsha says, over here, Yesoid Godel, he says, Ka mazik b'ter nirli lafarish, delamaan yechizku koya ala nisin amonu kederashem chazal. Eitz chayim hi lamachazikim bo. This is a pasuk. Eitz chayim hi, then it's chayim forever. To this person, lamachazikim bo. It doesn't say iskim bo, or to lamelim bo. It's an eitz chayim to the people that are learning the Torah. It doesn't say that. It says it to the people that are supporting Torah. The people that are supporting Torah, eitz chayim hi lamachazikim bo. And he says over here, it's when Elo machzikim bo dainu hamasayim machzikim the Torah and noisin loyim be Torah. Kegoyin hamaisis the Levi or the Kohen or the Zehizir ala noisin lahachzik the Torah Hashem in the Sinosai. Kedei sheyilmid akehanu. This is one of the most fundamental principles that we have, because we, Klal Yisrael, are different than the Ummah Sha'olam because of the Torah. That's what makes us different. And we also know that the Pasuk says that Zebulun was given his bracha before Yisachar, even though Yisachar was learning, but the Mefarshim say because he couldn't have been learning if not for that Zebulun was supporting him. He was into the maritime, he was into ships and other things. Obviously he learned a lot also, but he also went out to make a parnasa. And he had this partnership where he gave over to Yisachar so he could learn. Yisachar, his bracha was given first. Zebulun l'chayf yamim, and then it says Yisachar chamal garim afterwards. Now, there's so much here, but I want to touch on some of it. Because it's Yisraeli's thing. The Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Val Yoimar ben Hanecher Hanilva Hashem Lema. The Ben Hanecher Hanilva Hashem Lema. A person shouldn't say, someone who's having, let's just, again, a loose interpretation, a hard time. Okay, a loose interpretation. Havdel Yavdilani Hashem El Amoy. Hashem separated himself from his nation. From me and from my nation. Val Yoimar Hasaris, Hin Ani Yechavish. And Hasaris, someone who cannot have children, should not say, oh, I'm just dry wood, I can't do anything. What's my purpose of living? And mainly he gets down. Says the Navi, Kichoy Amar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us what to do. Koyamar Hashem, Lasarisim, to the people who can't have children, he says, Hashem Yishmu Hashem Seisai. If you will be shomer my Shabbos, meaning not just keep the Shabbos, but cherish the Shabbos. And the Chavetz Chaim spends these many pages explaining that. Ubacharu Basher Chafatzi, and the Pasuk continues, and he'll choose in what I choose, and the Chavetz Chaim spends these many pages explaining. That means chesed. Okay? Olam chesed yibone, chodesh baruch hu, ma'u chesed, ato chesed, ma'u rachem, ato rachem, to be, emulate the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do chesed with people. U'machazikim b'brisi. That's all of this. Brisi is the Torah. Like brisi yem v'lai l'chuk yishmai v'oritz l'isamti, the world would not have been created if not for Torah. And if you machzik my bris, if you do that, so then it says that the pasuk continues and says that you will be in a sati, you'll have the shame. You'll have forever a remembrance. Your name, your legacy will be continued forever. So the Chofetz Chaim now goes to town on two fronts. He goes to town on obviously Torah and supporting Torah and understanding why it is central to everything we live and everything that's important to our lives. And he had another issue, and that's the issue of chinuch, of the purpose of the children was to continue the legacy, like he says, "Hamachasa ani me'Avram." Hashem said, "Can I hold something back from Avram Avinu? Why does he love Hakadosh Baruch Hu? It wasn't chibah to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You know why? Because the Yitzave, the man Hashem Yitzave, one of his basic acharal. The legacy he perpetuates." The Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving it over to his children, to his Talmidim, to his grandchildren, to his great-grandchildren. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. This is what our purpose is. Now, a person might say, I don't have kids, what can I do? Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's what the Navi is telling us in Yeshaya. No, Hashem told you what to do. If you want to have that legacy, Yishrei Meshabbos, that means cherish it. To chesed, machzik and bebrisi, and support Torah, support people that are learning Torah. Kamalamid es beminay Torah, kilu yolda. And says the Chofetz Chaim, very, very strong words. Very strong words. And I'll just, it could be depressing if we only hear it superficially. But if we try to understand it and analyze it, we'll walk away encouraged in a way. It says, that, and he was talking way back in the day, Alfei Revovos in his Akdama, this is his Lashon, and this is going to knock, it's going to knock you over, but it's the Chofetz Chaim says it. He says, the Yesh Anoshim, there are people that are looking for Eitzes, because Alfei Revovos Bonim, Alfei, it's tens of thousands Jewish children are going off the derech. Now this isn't the times of Chofetz Chaim. Tens of thousands of children. Now obviously he was talking at the time of the Haskalah. And that's why a lot of Pesachim today, people ask a Rav Hashailah. As a kid, not so religious anymore, Nebuch, he met up with the wrong crowd, or I work in Kirov, and I have a lot of kids that come to my house. And I have wine on the table. Do I have to worry about that they're not sharing Shabbos with my wine? And most person will tell you don't have to worry about it. Because most, 99.10% of them, are just Balei Taiva. And they're running after independence, and they're trying to take away the shackles, what they view as shackles, of Torah and Mitzvahs. But they're not bitter against Hashem, and that they're like the maskil, that they don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where you have a problem. So, b'meilu, we're talking about different times. In the times of the Chofetz Chaim, there was Haskalah, which was very prevalent in those days. Very prevalent. And nowadays, we're dealing now, 100 years later, with the distractions in society, which are so... defy the laws of gravity. They just slip so strongly that as soon as there's a little bump in the road, children could so easily, who are vulnerable, be swayed. And that's not Haskalah. That's somebody who's living a life with toys, but you don't have to worry about your wine with him, even if he's not Shema Shabbos. So realize we're talking about two different things, but the end result is that they were Sarum and Aderech. They're not on the Derech of Torah. And the Chofetz Chaim says an interesting nekuda over here that he goes on for pages and pages, but says like this. He says that a person doesn't get to pick his children. Hashem gives him his children. That's the mitzvah. And how that turns out, as much as it's totally in how you as a parent might do things, there are a lot of things that are not in our hands. We have children, and there are things that we don't call all the shots. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. He knows it. So therefore, we could do everything that we could do, and we're mechuyev to do everything that we could do. And that's where it stops. Says the Chavetz Chaim, if you're supporting Torah, so then you have all the milus without the chesar. And the Chavetz Chaim says a lashon in Perek Tzayin here in Shaar Zokis HaTorah, which is an amazing, amazing lashon. His lashon is over here. He quotes it in Agdama, but I got to read it to you, because if I wouldn't be reading it, I would have a hard time, you know, a hard time getting it. But he says over here, his lashon is that a person. And he says his lashon, I'll just read it to you. He says a mashal. This is a mashal. Okay? Mashal is like this. That you have a guy who is going to war. I'll tell you the mashal, you'll understand it better. I just want to find the lashon. Give me a second. Okay, I'll find the one I'm talking to. I don't want to waste time. But he says an interesting mashal of somebody who is an eved to a king, and the king goes out to war, and the king gives out arrows to everybody, and this guy, he's a mefunik, so he makes his own arrows. Because he wants them to be exactly evenly weighed, so when he shoots his arrow, it will be head on. It will always hit the target perfectly the way he wants it. So Mela, he doesn't use other people's arrows. He uses his own arrows, because by using his own arrows, he'll be able to know that he's going to go the right place. So he says like this. He says, they go to war, and the guy starts shooting his arrows. And because they're such great arrows, every single one he scores a direct hit. But he only had 10 arrows. He gets his 10 people, but the war is still raging. So he quickly packs up his suitcase, he goes running back to the king, and he says, okay, now what do I do? He goes, what do you mean? Take arrows and continue fighting. We're still at war. He says, yeah, but I finished mine up already. So the Chavetz Chaim says, fool. Finish yours up already. You can only do so much with yours. I have an unlimited supply over here. Use mine. Go win the war. Obviously, if he has any seichel, he's going to pick up those arrows, even though they're not a perfect head on, and then he's going to go back to war. So he says, Ken adav bin yaneru, bonim shel ohadam, ezeh bonim, shenoy shalem ben ha-shamayim, hum mukhuch ha-kablam. His lashon is, you have to take the children Hashem gives you. These are your children. You didn't get to pick if it's going to be a smart one, or a well-behaved one, or one who's a real lemichel that whatever you tell him to do, listens the first time. Sometimes their kids aren't that good. Sometimes they even cause you aggravation. It's that's what it is. Sometimes it's like that. So you have limited ability. Does that mean therefore you should close up shop, says the Chavetz Chaim? Or should you go at least and continue to invest your money and your keiches and your cheshik into the other matzavim around you that are giving nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that are doing the right things? It's a no-brainer, says the Chavetz Chaim. So he says, Mimela, what ends up happening is that V'dayi t'kelo y'kama suya v'dayi enim suyisim, he says, I'll be a diff man. He says, there are some people who have children, and you might think they're better off than this person who never couldn't have any kids. Because at least they have kids, right? Says the Chavetz Chaim, there are times they could be worse than the guy who didn't have any, could go into Yesh Lebonim, just throw me derech HaTorah. Novos, what should he do? Says the Chavetz Chaim, why did the Yesh Lebonim create that Reuven, this guy Reuven, his kid went off the derech? Why? You know why? Because he knows that that's going to get Reuven depressed. It's going to get Reuven upset. It's going to make Reuven be less inspired in his avodas Hashem. So if you could go and show the Yetzirah, no, I'm going to keep my shear. I'm going to continue supporting Torah and do whatever I can to build up Torah in other places. So the Yetzirah is going to say, 1 second here, forget it. It's not working. Let this guy go back on the derech. I'll go fight with a different person. That's what the HR does. He said, but we fall for the trap. We think that, oh, what did I do wrong? You're right, of course, there are times when we make mistakes as parents. We're all human. And we got to find ages and go speak to people and figure out ages. Is it already 10:15?
Yeah.
All right, so we have to stop. We'll continue in the center. We'll continue from here.